It occurs to me that already this job has gotten messed up because Jim ought to be up here speaking. That's his gift. And I shouldn't be doing that while he's sitting here. Prayer is a topic that I always feel funny about speaking about. It seems like we would accomplish more by taking the next half an hour and getting out in our discussion groups and just having a time of prayer. Because prayer really isn't something you talk about, it's something you do. And I've been tempted many times when I've been asked to speak on this subject just to, at this point, say, okay, we'll now break up in our discussion groups and we'll go pray. And I seriously considered doing that. But as I was praying this morning, the Lord didn't lay that on my heart. Instead, I'd like to talk about a couple things very, very simply. And I thought, what is the objective of this message this morning? What's our purpose? Well, I know that in the past, when I've spoken on the subject of prayer, one of my goals was to maybe challenge someone to become a deep prayer warrior. Someone like Moses, who went out and spent 40 days and nights with the Lord in prayer. Or someone like David, who in Psalm 119, 147 says, I rise before dawn and cry out for help. Or someone like Jesus in Mark 135, who rose a great while before day and went out and prayed. And God needs prayer warriors like that. But I decided that I couldn't do that, first of all, because I'm not one of those people, and secondly, because I don't think people like that are made by messages. I think they're made by God working in lives over periods of years. If I tried to do that, I'd probably just discourage some of you, and we wouldn't really accomplish anything. Now, hopefully someday, maybe there is today, some real prayer warriors here, people that spend hours every day in prayer. But I think my objective this morning is to encourage each one of you just to spend a little bit more time in prayer than you're now spending. Some of you might not be spending any time in prayer. And I would be very happy if you'd spend 2 or 3 minutes a day. Some of you might be having a good quiet time, but you're not regular at it. You're not having it every day. Maybe you're having it 3 or 4 days a week. Well, as a result of this conference, I think God would be honored if you'd have it 4 or 5 days a week instead of 3 or 4 days a week. And then there are some of us that worry about things instead of praying about them. And if we could learn to pray about those things that we're worrying about, we'd be a lot further ahead. So I think of 2 Peter 1:12. I got to take these loose pages out of my Bible because they mess up finding my place in my ladder here. 2 Peter 1:12, where Peter says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these things, though you know them and are established in the truth you have. I believe everyone in the room here is convicted about your prayer life. I know I am, and I don't think I've ever talked to a Christian who didn't feel like they ought to be praying more than they are. So we really don't need to have a session where we exhort you to pray more, because you know that you should be praying more. Do you know that if half of us here in the room, there's about 200 here, if about half of us would only increase our prayer life 5 minutes a day, half the time, we would do more praying than if we developed a 4-hour-a-day, everyday prayer warrior out of this group. You know, many people praying a little bit gets a lot more praying done than one person praying a lot. John Crawford said yesterday that Satan has not singled out the scriptures and the translation of the scriptures as one of his areas of attack. I think Satan has singled out our prayer lives as one of his very special areas of attack. He would like to keep us from prayer, and he has many devices for doing that. Now we're covering the basics in the Christian life this week. Gene is covering them at night, and then we're taking these four messages in the morning to talk about God's Word, prayer, witnessing, and fellowship. And I think the thing that would make a real difference in our lives as a result of the conference is that we take some definite step in at least one of those areas as a result of having been here this week. That we decide we're going to spend more time in the Word. Or that we covenant with God that we are going to witness to one person a week this next year. Or whatever the challenge might be for you to move forward in that area in your life. Or that we're going to mend some relationships and improve our fellowship with other people. Or that we're going to spend some more time in prayer. And that is what would make a real difference from this conference when we go back down from the mountain. Let me share four verses or four passages in relation to prayer, which I'd like to be our challenge this morning. The first one is Philippians 4, 6, and 7, a very familiar passage. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, or be troubled about nothing. But take everything to the Lord in prayer. There are some things that are troubling us that we can't do anything about. And we naturally take those to the Lord in prayer. You know, there's nothing that I can do to sell my house in California. That is out of my hands. A buyer has to appear who wants to buy the house. So I pray a lot about that. There are some things that I can do to train my children that are at home, just a couple miles away. And so I tend not to pray as much about that because I think, well, I ought to be doing something about that. There are things that we can do something about, and there are things that we can't do anything about. We ought to be praying as much about the things that we can do something about as about those we can't. If we would pray instead of worry, we would experience the peace of God. And if we would be thankful for the difficulties and troubles, our spirit would be better and life would be better for us. And of course, if we would pray about those things instead of worrying about them, God would do something about them. Because prayer is not just a psychological exercise. We are praying to a very real God who has a concern for us and who wants to do good things for us. So Philippians 4, 6, and 7 is one of my favorite passages, and I use that over and over again. Whenever I get troubled about something or anxious, concerned, I just take some time. Might be in the middle of the day, I might be driving somewhere. Take some time to pray about those things that are bothering me. And of course, I try and take time every morning in my quiet time to think through on the activities of the day and to commit them to the Lord and ask His direction and help. And when I've done that, I feel more confident about going through the day. When I get out ahead of my prayer life, then I feel uneasy and anxious. When I'm out doing things that I haven't prayed about, I'm anxious. But when I've prayed about it and committed it to the Lord, I don't feel anxious. Second passage is James 5:16. That's one of the pages I took out. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another. The first passage had to do with praying about those things that are troubling us, our own needs. And then we ought to be praying for one another. As we go through the day, we hear about needs that people have, problems that they're going through, spiritual problems, physical problems, emotional problems, job problems, financial problems. But how much time do we spend praying about those things that we hear about? And I make it a practice to pray when I hear about something. You don't have to close your eyes and bow your head to pray, you know. And so when someone says, did you hear about such and such? Well, as soon as I hear it, I say, Lord, work in that situation. You know, help that person, deliver them, or whatever their need is. And so you can go through the day praying for others as you learn about their needs. And really, that's the best time to do it, because if we don't do it then, we'll probably forget to do it. So, pray for one another. And then 1 Corinthians 1:11, along the same line. That's not the right passage. It must be 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us in answer to many prayers. Another exhortation to pray for one another. And we need your help. We need one another's help in prayer. There's probably no greater blessing that you can have than to have someone who's faithful to pray for you. The fourth passage is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. And this, I think, speaks about the attitude we ought to have as we go through the day. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, be thankful, be rejoicing, no matter what comes along. Be praying constantly as you go through the day and giving thanks, a spirit of thankfulness, for this is God's will for us. Let me share just 8 principles on prayer briefly. The first one Gene has alluded to very effectively. And that's that we've got to deal with sin in our life if our prayers are going to be heard. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Your sins have separated between you and God. Acts 3:19. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins might be blotted out, that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. And along the same line, Mark 11:25 talks about if any brother has anything against us, or if we have anything against a brother and we're going to prayer, we ought to forgive before we go to the Lord in prayer, so that our relationships are clear and clean. So the first principle for effective prayer is that we have to be walking with the Lord. And I think in the area of lordship, it's one area where doing a little bit more than we're now doing isn't going to do the job. It's the area that Gene talked about. It's the all or nothing area. It's where we've got to put all our chips in the middle of the table. If there are some areas in your life that are not committed to the Lord, and you know that, to decide, well, I'm going to commit a little bit more of my life to the Lord this conference, isn't going to do the job. We have to be totally committed, or we're not committed at all. Now, we can decide to pray a little bit more, and we can decide to study the Bible a little bit more, and we can decide to witness a little bit more, But we can't decide just to put a little bit more sin out of our life. We need to deal with that completely and thoroughly and wholeheartedly to experience God's blessing. The second principle is to ask according to God's will. 1 John 5:14 and 15. We know that if we ask according to God's will, He hears us and that He will answer. We ask according to God's will by knowing what God's will is, and that's primarily from the Scriptures, of course. James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." The third principle is James 4:2. "You do not have because you do not ask." We have to ask specifically. The fourth principle, Matthew 26:39, we have to be willing to do whatever God would reveal to us when we go to Him in prayer. If I go to God in prayer for direction, He's not in the business of playing games with us. There's no reason for Him to reveal His will to us if our heart is not ready to do it. And of course, we know that His will is the very best for us. It's better than anything we could figure out for ourselves. So there is no reason why we shouldn't be willing to do God's will, no matter what it is. The fifth principle from James 5:17 is that we need to be urgent and persistent in prayer. And here again, I would like to stand with Gene Warr, not being a theologian, and say, I don't understand these things. I don't understand why God would tend to answer a prayer that was uttered repeatedly versus one that was uttered one time. But the Scriptures talk about the effectiveness, the increasing effectiveness of urgent and persistent prayer. So we don't want to give up on those things that we're praying for that we haven't seen God answer yet. And then, of course, Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22, we need to ask in faith. Whatsoever you ask in faith, believing, you shall receive. How do we increase our faith so that we can ask for things, really believing that God's going to do them? I think there's only one way, and that's to ask for something and see God answer, and see your faith strengthened, so that you have faith to ask for something bigger. See God do that. And then something bigger, and see God do that. Our faith is strengthened not by some emotional exercise. Our faith is strengthened by seeing God prove Himself faithful in those things we've asked in the past. The seventh principle, Matthew 18:19, there is power in united prayer, where two or three are gathered together. So to get a prayer partner or to be in a prayer group increases the effectiveness of our prayers. And then the last thing that I'm going to mention, and I'm just going to mention it, has to do with prayer and fasting. We don't practice that too much these days. And I'm not very experienced in prayer and fasting. I've only done it a couple times in my life. But the Scriptures are very clear in tying those two things together, prayer and fasting. And that's something that we ought to be pursuing and experiencing more, I believe, to make our prayers more effective. Some practical suggestions on prayer. Like most things, one of the main reasons that we don't do more of it is that we don't decide we're going to do it. And so I would really encourage you, before you leave the conference this week, to make some decisions about what you're going to do as a result of the time here. Whether it's in the area of God's Word, whether it's in the area of some sin in your life, lordship, relationships, witnessing, or prayer, make some definite decisions before God of what you're going to do as a result of having been here. Set reasonable goals in the area of prayer. If you're currently spending 5 minutes a day in prayer, then 10 minutes would be a reasonable goal, not an hour. Prayer life has to grow naturally, or we frustrate ourselves by trying to bite off more than we can chew. Get to bed at a reasonable hour. I think most of us find the morning time the best time for prayer before we get involved in the activities of the day, before too many distractions come in upon us. And the main thing that interferes with my prayer life in the morning is activities late at night, which keep me up too late and make me too sleepy in the morning to effectively spend time with God. So many years ago, I decided what time I wanted to get up in the morning and start spending time with God. And I know about how much sleep I need on a consistent basis, so working back from that, I arrive at a normal bedtime. And I look at anything that keeps me up after that time very carefully. Sometimes there are things that God wants me to do past that time, but usually the things that I tend to occupy myself with after that time are not as important as spending time with the Lord in the morning. So I really guard that time and try and get to bed. Proverbs 6:9 says, "How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep?" And Psalm 127:2 says, "It's vain to rise up early in the morning and go late to bed." I believe that physical condition is very important in every area of our life. And if you find yourself having trouble staying awake when you're praying, maybe it's because you're just not toned up physically, and maybe you're eating too much. So exercise and diet, I think, are a factor in our prayer life to keep ourselves alert and sharp. Don't waste time getting started. If you say you're going to get up and have a quiet time at 6 o'clock, when 6 o'clock comes, get out of bed and start doing it. Or if the Lord wakes you up in the night, as He often does me, don't lay there and toss and turn and try and get back to sleep. Get up and pray about whatever it is that the Lord has brought to your attention. And I've had some of the most wonderful times in prayer in the middle of the night and come to real peace, got back in bed and just slept like a rock until morning. And I never miss the sleep that I've... I never feel the loss of sleep when I've taken time to use it for prayer in the night like that. Have a do list handy when you're praying. When I start praying, the Lord tends to bring things to my mind that I should do. And so I just write those down on my do list and get back to prayer. I don't let them distract me, but I also am very careful that I don't neglect things that the Lord brings to my mind while I'm having a time of prayer. And I've learned that God is speaking to me during those times, and I don't want to neglect to do those things that He lays on my heart when I'm spending time with prayer. Keep a quiet time notebook, a prayer journal, listing the prayer requests and the answers, and nothing will strengthen your faith more and will also help you be businesslike and systematic and persistent in your prayer to write down the things you're requesting and then to keep track of the answers. I like to pray over the scriptures. Most of my prayer time now is spent praying over the scriptures, to pray them into my own life, to pray them into the lives of others. Pray over the day's schedule, and then get on as many missionary prayer letter lists and organizations' prayer guides as you can, and I find them very helpful. When I get them in the mail, I don't read them. I put them in my prayer folder, and then every day I take out a few of those letters and prayer guides, and I pray over them and read them. Read them prayerfully before the Lord. I don't use organizational prayer guides on a daily basis like they're made out for. I'll take the Navigator's prayer guide for the month and pray over the whole thing whatever day it happens to come up in my prayer folder. Periodically, to spend a half day or a day with the Lord is one of life's richest blessings, as those of you who are involved in the 2-7 course and have done that know. Let me close with a true story from the life of Chuck Colson. You know, life slips by, and we need to make it count. And I believe that the amount of time we spend in prayer will be one of the most significant factors in determining what our life has really accomplished in the light of eternity. Chuck Colson, who was a special assistant to President Nixon, as you know, tells how he and some of the other assistants, close assistants to the President of the United States, used to sit in the Oval Office and wrestle with the problems of the world. And they said there was a sense of urgency and a sense of destiny. And they felt like they were making history, that they were making decisions that would affect the whole course of human history. And he says, now, as a Christian, I realize that some mother out in St. Joseph, Missouri, that's put her baby to bed for their nap and is spending some time in prayer with the Lord is having more effect on the history of the world than we were in the Oval Office. And I really believe that's true. I believe that you and I, alone with God in prayer, can have more effect on the course of people's lives and the history of the world than the secular powers and wheelers and dealers of the world. In our discussion groups, let's make sure that we do take some time to pray and not just talk the whole time this morning. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, as we talk about this subject of prayer, I pray that you would re-stimulate each one of us, convict us, encourage us, that we might spend more time in prayer this next year than we did last year, that our prayers might be more effective, that we might be more faithful to pray for others, that we might be more diligent in taking those concerns and worries to you in prayer, and that we might go through the day with an attitude of prayer, praying as we hear about needs and as we become aware of situations. Thank you for this group, and I pray that you would work this in my life and in the life of each one here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for allowing us the privilege of ministering to you by way of this cassette. You can multiply this ministry by sharing this cassette with someone else.